place to go.
Well, we made it to midweek. Good morning, the Steve Cochran Show for a Wednesday from the WGN Radio Skyline Studio. Dave Ennett here. G is with us halfway through week number two.
Yes.
Steve Grzanich in the newsroom and Steve Cochran at the microphone.
He says he's protesting. He's not going to come in today.
I'm sleeping. I'll be up around 8.
Oh, okay. He's tired.
I hope you have your shades because the sun is bright today. Very bright. Wait,
yeah, you might want to turn your mic on.
What do we have this red light on for?
It does make it look like it's on.
So this morning at 2 a.m., my phone's going nuts, and it was fraud alerts.
Oh.
Somebody hacked my American Express card last night.
What?
Oh, not again.
Do you have one of those solid gold platinum American Express cards that are really heavy?
Yeah, it's a weapon.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
It's like a ninja star.
Apparently, if you catch people who steal your stuff, you get to throw it at them.
Oh, I have good news, by the way. Remember the debt collectors?
You caught that guy?
No. Oh. Not. I wish. You're welcome. I was a vigilante like that. But
did you shower today?
No. Yes, I did shower today, Mary. No, it had to do with the fraud alert. Remember, I had my identity stolen.
Yeah.
And then the debt collectors were after me for the charge the debt collectors were after me for the charge that I never charged. Because, you know, I don't shop at the Home Depot. I don't own a home. I'll probably never own a home at this rate. But they charge $2,300 at the Home Depot in California. And then the debt collectors were after me for that amount.
So you got out of the deal.
But I had to file, a police report or whatever. I got cleared of all charges, so I'm a free woman now. Thank you very much. Yes. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
So we can be seen with you.
Yes. Don't worry.
How often were the debt collectors calling and bothering you?
Nonstop.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. But,
I'm glad you're alive.
I wanted you to know. Yeah, I'm not on the most wanted list, FYI.
You know, I talk about LifeLock here. Here's why I talk about LifeLock. LifeLock and American Express fraud team were doing everything they could to wake me up at 2 a.m. My phone was going off like you wouldn't believe.
But then what can you do at 2 a.m.?
Well, you call the fraud people, and the fraud people say, hello, fraud people. And then, you go through, that's not me. Like, for instance, Venmo, the money transfer
service. I love Venmo.
Yeah, well, I like it, but I didn't ask for $12,000 in cash at 2 o'clock in the morning. It wasn't quite that much, but it was a lot of money. And there was there was Walmart, and I'm not at Walmart at midnight.
I'm going to send you a Venmo request.
Venmo, Walmart, what was the other one? Oh, well, this is why, this is why the crazy kids that write the code, they got to be pretty good, right? Because here are the three charges. Venmo, I transferred money.
Okay.
Venmo. Walmart, I've been to a Walmart. They're quite popular in America. And the other one was Golf Now, which is a tea time service. How do they know it wasn't me?
Maybe it was you.
I mean, I've never used Golf Now, but how do they know it's not me?
I would have totally thought the Golf Now was you.
Yeah. So
except maybe Golf Tomorrow, Golf Yesterday.
So at 2 o'clock. Golf. Those are totally different services. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm on the phone with American Express, and I got a new card coming. So I just want to alert the criminals that are listening. Mm-hmm. I have a new card coming.
Okay.
So it's a brand new challenge when we play Steal Steve Stuff.
Steve, it's not really hard for these guys to do this. Somebody explained this to me once. They have these computer programs that just search numbers out, and when they find one that works, they use it.
I would like to tell all the listeners
and I'm on the dark web.
That it's much better to steal from Steve than it is from my identity.
Listen.
They're going to get a lot farther.
All of
you.
Our money spends the same way.
His goes to Restoration Hardware. Yours goes to Home Depot.
I know.
So. Now, there's no indication that this was Cochran Plumbing back in
action. No. Now, sadly, that company seems to be closed still.
Do you have a new occupation this morning, then?
No, but this is the problem when you live on the dark web. You know, once your identity's stolen, once your Social Security number is taken, you end up living on the dark web, which is, again, this is not a commercial for LifeLock, even though there's one this half hour. that they're not going to get now because I'm already talking about how great they are. But LifeLock, is the layer of protection between me and those who are evil.
Do you watch Stranger Things?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, in the Upside Down, which is the alternate parallel universe, that's what I envision when you say the dark web.
That's you're on the dark web too. You got hacked.
Yeah.
I'll see you there.
In the Upside Down.
In the Upside Down. John, you watch Stranger Things?
I do. It's phenomenal. It really is.
That was a sneaky little hit for Netflix, too. Netflix barely greenlit that show. And somebody at Netflix on the programming side said, five episodes.
Love it because it's like about a bunch of precocious kids, you know, that are saving the world.
From the 80s, from the 1980s.
But then it just gets so weird once in a while. That's when I can't watch it. I've tried to watch that show like five different times, and it just gets so weird. I don't know. I can't deal with most of it. So,
Was I on Stranger Things when they stole my stuff?
Yeah, you sure were.
That should have been told. Mm-hmm.
I saw your American Express card.
Well, why not? Everybody apparently has. So anyway, thank you, American Express and LifeLock. And we'll do the top six in just a second.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Part of my new game, Fun with Criminals, is I'm going to give out my new American Express number one digit at a time throughout the show today.
By the way,
not in the right order.
Oh.
I mean, I'm not making it easy. The first digit is 1-1. Law enforcement sources confirmed yesterday Jeffrey Epstein used a bedsheet to hang himself in his jail cell last weekend. Epstein's brother is conducting his own investigation into the suicide. Mark Epstein's private inquiry is why Dr. Michael Baden observed the autopsy. In addition to the cause and the manner of his brother's death by suicide, Epstein wants to know the circumstances and also a whole litany of people who apparently visited Epstein in the last few weeks, some of which were never asked to sign in, as is the case when you go to visit a prisoner. Next.
The American Express card. Don't leave home without it.
That's awesome.
Super Joe.
Yeah.
So good.
The FDA has warned consumers about the dangerous side effects of the popular Miracle Mineral Solution. Sold by promoters as treating a variety of medical issues from cancer to hepatitis to autism, even AIDS. Health experts say it's more commonly known as industrial strength bleach.
Oh, no.
It's usually accessible to anybody who wants to try it. Its product can be found in retailers. Walmart sells it. Amazon sells it. John, look this up right now on Amazon.
Sure.
Miracle Mineral Solution.
Sounds like something out of the Wild West that they sell, you know, in the Carnauba wagon or whatever.
Mr. Haney from Green Acres
exactly.
In the back of it.
Anything with miracle and mineral in it, I wouldn't go for.
The interesting thing is if you do drink bleach, it will solve a lot of your problems if you have problems. That's for sure.
Mm. Yeah, because you'll be so
you'll
sick.
Just be dead.
You won't
you'll
notice the other
the
stuff.
Day, yeah.
Supporters of the product say the side effects are proof that it's working.
Mm.
The FDA warns that consuming the product could be life-threatening.
Wow.
Snake oil. Isn't bleach something we generally recognize when you say, oh, I don't know, smell bleach?
Mm,
ammonia.
But bleach has a certain something to it as well.
It does have a...
But maybe if you're just, you know, you're in such a desperate situation, you're willing to try anything.
Viv just handed this to me. Mineral Solution Water Purification Drops, a derivative of this stuff, $47.99. Eyedropper sold separately.
Yeah, there's. I can't.
Think Amazon pulled it?
Yeah, they might have because it's not showing up right here.
They should have pulled
Go
it.
Go to Walmart. Take my American Express card. Hey, wait a minute.
Hey, I don't know if this helps, but the first things that came up were how to clean your pool. I don't know if that's a good thing to
I
put
just
in your
don't
eye.
Think, yeah, probably not. Next.
Don't leave home without it.
Cannabis companies are eyeing sites on some of the priciest retail streets in Chicago. Once weed is legal on January 1st, we got some openings on Michigan Avenue. Michigan Avenue may be the home to multiple cannabis shops next year.
See, this is going to be very good because you just leave work here and walk down Michigan Avenue and pick up some gummy bears and get the Michigan Avenue bus and you're home.
Yeah, man, that's not far away at all.
Not that far at all.
But so many of the Michigan Avenue stores, most of them, are not profitable stores. They're loss leaders for the company. They're
just
showcases.
Flagship stores.
Yeah, they're fancy, schmancy showcases.
This store will make money, though.
That's right?
It will.
But doesn't this feel like you know, the super rich family that's got like the disappointing hippie kid that comes home for the holidays. Like, you know, it's really expensive, really expensive, really expensive. Ooh, weed. Yeah. Really expensive, really expensive.
And it's not just hippie kids. It's hippie parents as well. I mean, some of these parents. And by the way,
it's everybody.
It's everybody. You're absolutely
it's
right.
It's everybody.
They're all on the pot.
Everybody is doing edibles and vape pins. Everyone.
Get your magnificent marijuana on the Magnificent Mile. Yeah.
And just so you know, there's a cupcake place just right around the corner.
That's pretty smart.
North.
Yeah. That's pretty smart.
But in all seriousness, it does help a lot of people with chronic illness.
That's why I'm ordering Miracle Marijuana Solution.
Yeah. Hey, listen, by the way, it is on Amazon. It's got 4 stars out of 5.
Is it called Miracle Mineral Solution?
Never mind. Yes. Oh, never mind. Yes. No, the Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century.
That's probably something different.
Yeah, never mind. I screwed up. Well, John, ignore me.
John just said it wasn't on. So you're not the first person to sit in that chair and contradict John.
I was going to say.
Sorry. My apologies, John.
Time.
It is actually a book about the Miracle Mineral Solution. I apologize.
If you start ripping the pages out and eating them, would you have the same effect?
I think so.
Okay.
Probably better.
Next.
Don't leave home without it.
Kraft Heinz is cutting 400 jobs amid declining appetites for its iconic brands due to failing sales, or should I say falling sales, declining valuations, and accounting issues. The packaged foods giant said it expects to cut 400 hourly jobs coming up. What Kraft Heinz products aren't still popular? Don't we eat all the Kraft Heinz stuff?
It's because everyone's trying to get away from highly processed foods.
I'm not.
Like the mac and cheese.
I'm trying to eat more of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes at Kraft Heinz, too. Some management decisions that have not been very good ones.
Does it have to do with the massage parlor?
Could be, maybe.
Mm. Remember.
Know that.
You know what I had for dinner last night? Spinach lasagna rolls.
From
The Seattle Sutton situation.
Sounds fantastic. That's what
I thought. I didn't know if I was allowed to say the name.
Yeah, Seattle Sutton. It's called Seattle Sutton situation.
did she name it after a band you were in?
She did, actually. Yeah. I recommend the spinach lasagna rolls. Yeah, it's very good. Next.
Don't leave home without it.
What was that guy's name?
Carl Malden.
Oh, that was Carl Malden?
Wasn't it? I mean, he's the guy who did the...
Joe's not going to remember Carl Malden. Joe's 32.
What am I looking at Joe for?
I think G should double-check Dave's work.
Yeah,
here.
I'll just screw it up. What's his name?
The guy with a huge nose.
McDonald's value menu just got a little bit bigger. The fast food giant announced a buy one, get one for a buck deal rolling out today. How hungry are you? Today, for a limited time, stores nationwide can make your lunch, dinner, snack a whole lot cheaper. 4 menu items included in the promo. The quarter pounder with cheese, the Big Mac, the filet of fish, the 10-piece nuggets. When you buy any of these, you get a second one for a buck.
How do they do it?
They have a lot of places. if I get the quarter pounder with cheese, can I get the 10 nuggets for a buck and the pedal? The heart pedals?
I mean, it would not be a good thing normally anywhere else to get something for such an affordable price.
But in this case, we're all willing to make an exception.
Exactly. But it's about food, which should be something you care the most about because you're putting it in your body.
I maintain everything in moderation. As long as you don't take more than 2 laps of the drive-thru, you're fine.
Or maybe like 3 bites of the filet of fish.
Oh, like you could stop.
That mayo or tartar sauce or whatever slathered on there.
I love the filet of fish. I just don't like the tartar sauce.
John taught me something that I did not know.
Yes. My life hack.
Tell them the bun secret.
You just order one of their hamburgers or cheeseburgers, but you ask that they put it on the filet of fish bun.
It's a different bun.
That bun is so good.
It's a different bun.
It's like a marshmallow bun.
Why can't we have the bun on the burgers?
Good question. They should have it on there all the time.
Yeah, it's like a butter bun.
It's good. It's a little thicker, a little fluffier. Marshmallow is good.
Marshmallow bun.
Yeah, I like that.
I love it.
You know what you are?
I'll be right back.
You know what you are? You're a bon cierge. That's French for bun guy.
Instead of bagels, can you bring filet of fish next time?
Sure. That sounds perfect.
That wouldn't smell too funky by 10 o'clock, would it?
Also the American cheese that's on there,
too. Yeah, cheese is good.
It's good.
You like cheese? Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, you love
it. I'm going, oh.
Mickey and I both love the filet of fish.
I don't eat it during Lent.
My brother Mickey's order normally is this. 2 fish sandwiches, that's it.
Exactly.
Well, that's not exactly a small order, 2 fish sandwiches.
Now you can get one free.
Yeah, well, for a buck.
You'll have to tell them.
Plan for a South Suburban airport are back on the political front burner. We've been talking about this Piatone airport since what? About the time that Dillinger was gunned down?
Yes.
Yeah, Lindbergh brought it up first.
The proposal was revived in this year's Illinois budget, $162 million allocated towards road improvements. Well, you can fix the road, but it's not going anywhere until you have the airport.
Right.
See if I can get the airport done. The plans for that didn't go, here's the money for the road. Either that or it's a great way to scam a new road. Listen, that's enough. That's your top six at six.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
I think the president just wants everything to be investigated. And, you know, trying to connect the president to this monster from years ago where they're seen dancing in a video versus other people who were actively, I suppose, flying around with this monster on his island, which was known as Pedophilia Island. Perhaps there's a public interest in knowing more about that.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
I wonder if Kellyanne Conway has picked out her room in hell yet. A suite, maybe? Maybe a nice, ranch-style home?
I don't understand how her husband and she, they're so on opposite ends. How do they do that?
I was thinking the exact same thing. I always think about her husband and then remember the tiff that the husband got into with the president. And
to me, it's Connie Chung and Maury Povich. You get home at night, you don't talk about work that much.
Okay. Oh, you're just multimillionaires. He's got that, I'm not the father
I believe
money.
You remember the New York Times front page editorial about how terrible Trump is and how the place is up for grabs and the White House is a mess? I believe Kellyanne Conway wrote it.
Oh, you think she's
how could
a
she
secret?
Stay in the marriage with George, who is one of the most vicious tweeters of Trump? He makes me look like a Trump supporter. How could she stay in the marriage with Trump unless she was at least in on it? And by the way, why wouldn't Trump say to Kellyanne Conway, you got to go? This guy is killing me. They know you're married to him. You got to go. There's something up there.
Well, he owes her. I mean, she really helped him initially. So. But maybe they could do a show teach America.
But what has he been loyal? He's not loyal.
I know, but what I'm saying is with Kellyanne and her husband, I mean, maybe they could do a show where they can talk about how you can connect and talk to each other and live with one another despite having differences, being on the opposite ends of the spectrum.
You almost got through that without me laughing. Karen Conti, attorney at law, joins us now. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Steve.
Do you have a theory on George and Kellyanne?
Well, you know what? I think that people like Kellyanne, she's paid to be a spokesperson. And, you know, I think there are some people who can talk without really believing what they're saying. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I think that, you know, same with lawyers. I mean, there are lawyers who are prosecutors and lawyers who are defense lawyers, and they can get married to each other and live together and be on the opposite side because their job is to argue their particular side. And, you know, you don't condone behavior, but that's your job. That's how they compartmentalize it.
Karen had a very diplomatic answer. See, Karen is a great attorney. I would hire her in an instant.
Wait, now I'm questioning whether this is even Karen at this point. I don't even know this.
Wrong number.
All right, Jeffrey Epstein. If I'm Donald Trump, and thank God I'm not, if I'm Donald Trump, the last thing I do is come out and talk about how Bill Clinton went to Pedophilia Island when we know that he used to hang around with Jeffrey Epstein. This guy likes walking a tightrope, or is he just that stupid?
I mean, everyone has their Epstein theories. Have you heard them all? I mean, I've heard he was a government agent. We've heard, he was killed by Clinton and other inmates. And, you know, I don't know that we're ever going to know the whole situation, but it just seems ridiculous to blame President Clinton. I don't know. I don't know where that came from.
Well, and if Clinton was involved in this, and he may well have been involved with these girls, he ought to go to jail. So get him, convict him, and go to jail. And the same thing goes for Donald Trump. Nobody should ever be allowed. Here's a bulletin. Nobody should be allowed to take advantage of a 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old girl and get away with it.
Absolutely. And just my gut feeling, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but this guy, Epstein, was protected by the government at some point for some reason. And if you look at his Wikipedia, I mean, everyone should go read it. He has been in so much trouble financially, and he's been involved in all kinds of things where millions of dollars were lost. He's never prosecuted. You know, the little prosecution that he had down in Florida was a sweet deal that no one would have gotten. There's something strange about the fact that he was never brought to justice for any of the things that he's done.
Well, you know, this is not exactly the Netflix movie of the month theory here, but if you have a bunch of well-off, powerful men who have the same sick predilection that you have, and you collect those men, and then you call in those favors later, well, you wouldn't want me to tell people what you did with the 15-year-old. How else can you explain it?
Well, no big surprise that there's been a different type of justice system for the uber-wealthy and the uber-connected.
But this isn't just that, though. This isn't just they're rich and they're powerful so they get better attorneys. This is you sexually abuse children, and you are pulling some strings for me. Yeah, okay, I can tie those two things together. All right, so the part of his sweet deal from cabinet member, what is his name, Acosta, the guy from South Florida?
Right.
Who's still a part of the Trump cabinet. Part of his sweet deal included, basically said, anybody associated with me, they don't get prosecuted over this either. How would that even get through to a judge and get approved?
I have no idea. That's just that's not even a legal question. That's just, I have no idea. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen how he was treated in prison. He had an open door policy. He could go home. It makes no sense at all what happened to him. And that's why I'm thinking this is a bigger thing than just him being a pedophile. This is something to do with the government knowing something, or he was used by the government as an informant for something bigger and much bigger than what we're talking about.
There's a lot of investigation that continues to be needed here. Will it happen?
I don't know. And again, if someone was responsible for his death and he didn't just commit suicide, then I think this is going to just be hushed up. But we have all these other people who supposedly facilitated this young girls network, and those people really need to be prosecuted too. Now, the government doesn't have the number one guy anymore to focus on, so now I think the government should and probably will focus on those people.
When we come back, I want to talk to you about shirtless, sexy Rod Blagojevich wandering around cell block C's prison yard.
Oh, no.
And,
that was not good.
Did you see the pictures?
Well, I mean, just the way you described it.
I mean, he's walking around like he's Captain Stud. All he does is work out all day. He and the other shirtless cell block C members. So when we come back, Aaron, you know where you and I are on opposite sides of the fence on this. I talked to someone who's connected this morning. And they don't think it's going to happen. They being the people that don't think that Trump's going to get this guy to jail. So we'll come back with that in just a moment. Wah, 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 wah. Karen Conti, attorney at law. Karen, we got a listener question I want to jump to before we get to Blagojevich. Tom's in Crystal Lake. What's your question for Karen?
I got a question. My son has got some student loans that he defaulted on, our bad, but now, and they went to collections. So now we're in the process of paying them off.
Okay.
And
killing your credit rating, I assume, probably, right?
Yes, it was a bad credit. My question is, we're going to pay them off early, and they're telling us they can't give us a payoff letter before we pay them off. Is that true or not?
Well, you need a payoff letter
to
buy
a payoff letter. You know, I'd like a payoff letter knowing what, stating that they're going to use the money for what we're telling them to use it for, and not just, you know, apply it to the loan and say, okay, now you paid partial, you owe us the rest now. Because they gave us a fairly good deal on paying it off in one lump sum.
Is this a legit company you're working with, or are you concerned about that?
I don't really know. I mean, it's national, give them some free credit if they're good, National Credit Services in Washington.
Okay. So you want the loan letter, and they say we're not going to give it to you until it's paid off. Hold on a second.
Correct.
Let me get Karen back here. Karen Conti, so this fine listener here, Tom from Crystal Lake, son defaults on some student loans. They have worked together to pay them off. They've used a debt services company out of D.C. They'd like the what's the letter called, Tom?
A payoff letter before we pay it, so we know what they're applying the payment to.
He wants a payoff letter to show that the company is actually, I don't know how else to put this, Tom, legit.
I guess I just want to make sure that they're going to use it. They gave us a price, an adjusted price, lower than what he owed, because we're paying it off early with the fees and taxes and everything. And we just want to make sure they're going to use it to give us a letter. I want to make sure I can get a letter stating that once we give them that amount of money, that the loan is clear and free, paid off in full. And they said they can't do that until after they get the money.
And you want to make sure the money's going to be used to pay off the loan.
In full.
Right.
Yes, but they're not going to just apply and say, okay, now you paid this much, now you owe us this much more.
Attorney?
Well, and it, you know, I don't know this area of law, you know, at all, but I do know that I would probably want it not just from the debt consolidation company or whatever company you're using, but actually the student loan people. They're the ones, I mean, if there was a deal cut that they were going to accept a lesser amount in full satisfaction of the debt owed, that should be in writing. There should be a writing of that so that you know that deal was cut and that you know your money is going to pay it off and it's going to be over. It just seems to me that they should have some correspondence confirming that.
Okay, yeah, because it was the U.S. Department of Education who sold the loan to a collection agency, and now we're going to pay the collection agency off, writing the check out to the U.S. Department of Education, but I would like to get a letter beforehand stating that this money I'm paying them is going to pay me off debt free and clear, and they said they can't do that until after they get the check.
I don't want to be cynical, but because the customer service department at the U.S. Department of Education might be a problem to get through. Well, if anybody's got any ideas on how to help Tom get through this, call me 312-981-7200. In the meantime, Tom, I'm going to give you Karen's number off the air, and you guys could try to communicate on this as well. So stand by.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for listening. I appreciate that. So, all right, Karen, Rod Blagojevich wandering around the exercise yard shirtless. He looks like he's pretty happy there. I say we leave him.
He's in pretty good shape for his age.
Yeah. Pretty good shape for any age.
Yeah. I mean, on prison food and all day to exercise, I guess that's what happens. But, yeah, he people adjust in prison. I've said this over and over again. It's the people outside that have the hard time not adjusting. It's his family and his children and his wife who can't grasp the idea that he's been in jail for all this time. But people really adapt. And, you know, he's a gregarious guy. He's a smart guy. He's probably, you know, spending his time productively for him. And that's not to say that he doesn't want to get out. I mean, 7 years is a long time in any jail.
Not long enough.
A very long time. Very long time.
So he's more than halfway done with the sentence. Trump threw out some heavy hints that he was going to let him out, talked about how unfair his sentence was, and now Washington insider types say, nah, he's backed off it. Are you hearing anything about that?
I'm hearing nothing, and what I'm hearing is that Kushner is the one who's making the decisions here, and that the normal process for pardons and commutations, which is a process where you apply and there's a group that looks over them and makes recommendations to the president, none of that is going on. That Kushner is sitting here and he's making decisions kind of based upon what he thinks would be helpful for Trump to get reelected. That's what I'm hearing.
So Jared Kushner is in charge of this, and it doesn't look good for Rod.
That's kind of what I'm hearing. It just, you know, again, I know everyone has their opinions on how much time Blagojevich should do, but it really is kind of cruel to hold this out and then yank it back, hold it out and yank it back. Patty Blagojevich and his children, you know, are hopeful about this, and I don't know. That's not the right thing to do. You don't just say I'm going to do something and then yank it out. I just think that's just an awful thing to do to this family.
Well, that's your president. Rod Blagojevich, meanwhile, has been in prison for 7 years. He went in at age 55. He's now 62. If he serves the full sentence, he'll be 66 and a half or so when he gets out. Imagine the shape he'll be in. I feel badly for his daughters. I don't feel badly for his wife. I certainly don't feel badly for him and the damage he did to the state. And I know you don't agree with that. And I know Dick Durbin doesn't agree with that.
A lot of time. I mean, 7 years, if you spend 1 hour in a jail, you want to be out of there. It's just a terrible place to be, even in a nicer facility where he is. And he's paid his debt to society. I mean, he should come out and, you know, he should do some community service. He should stay out of politics. He should stay out of the limelight, and he should be with his family. I just think that that's just too many years here. Too many.
See, I think if you are in government, you should serve harsher sentences than folks who aren't. You know, and I know that's not a fair standard, and it's not legal necessarily. No, part of the reason we're in the shape we're in now is because the guy in the White House isn't held to a higher standard.
Well, it is fair to sentence people in government office because they're in a position of power, and that gets factored into the sentencing guidelines, and it's supposed to set a precedent and to be a deterrent. But the problem is that after Blagojevich was convicted, how many other politicians have been charged? So, you know, it's not a deterrent. It's supposed to be one. And I don't have a problem with having sentences that reflect the fact that a government person shouldn't be doing this. But again, over 7 years is just way too many years.
We'll see where this goes from here. What does Trump always say at a time like this? We'll see what happens. And Karen, you'll be on Sunday night?
Sunday night from 7 to 9.
And where do we call you if we need you?
312-332-7800 or WGN at AskKarenConti.com.
I think about going into jail at 55 till you're 62, which is what he is now, and he's missing so many things, like, you know, some of the more painful days of your life when you get out of bed and can't understand why you're sore. But I guess maybe he has that in jail. He just looks like he's got all damn day to work out. I don't feel sorry for him. Not for a nickel, not for a minute. It's a minute after 7. We'll be back with the news in a moment from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Two-pack me. Actually, they call me 12-pack. So kind of a different thing. I don't have a six-pack. I have a... It's not a 12-pack anymore. It's more about a 9. It's the 9-pack.
There's a couple cans that fell out.
It could also just be one giant barrel.
Not anymore. 7:15, Fact or Fiction time. 312-981-7200 if you want to play Fact or Fiction. John, this is a complicated game. Can you explain it?
It's very simple. I will basically give you a statement.
Yes.
It's either a statement that is a fact, that is true,
or it's
one that I made up and it's fiction.
So it's a fact or it's fictional.
Right.
And then if you guess which one it is and you're right, you win.
Correct.
And on this show, if you lose, I'm a pushover, so you might win anyway.
Odds are, yeah, Steve will probably still take care of you.
312-981-7200. A couple of texters here. 815, anybody who tries to shake down a children's hospital ought to be locked up for life, period. Notice I'm not agreeing. Or disagreeing, I should say. 708, Steve, totally agree with you about Rod. I think maybe his wife ought to be punished also. The two of them should have thought about their daughters back then. And then we wouldn't have to feel sorry for the daughters now. There's some truth in that. Hmm. 630, good morning, Steve. Been listening to you for a few years, and I just want to tell you what a drastic positive change you made in my work day. Well, how nice is that?
Wow.
Very nice.
My day when you do. Deal with hazardous chemicals. Well, so do I.
Yeah.
Hazardous chemicals in the back of a dusty warehouse. Wasn't for you guys, I'd probably have lost my mind by now. Well, thank you for the work you're doing.
Oh.
And thank you for listening. Isn't that nice?
That's
and
so
take
nice.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah, sounds like a dangerous job. Anyway, that's three texts in a row. I don't want people to think I'm randomly cherry-picking the good'uns. Let's go to the phones now, and let's get Steve on the phone. Steve's in Bolingbrook. It's your birthday today?
It is.
Happy birthday. How old are you?
I'm 33.
Well, you look good for an old guy. What do you do, Steve?
I'm a lab technician at a construction materials testing facility.
What does that mean? Do you work with a guy that tests?
We test asphalt and concrete, soils, aggregates for building purposes.
You're a scientist is what you are.
Maybe you could take some samples off of Steve's tires.
Yeah, you know, what is the deal with all the construction that's going on? Why do we have to put the gravel down first that gets stuck on my tires?
It's just meant to level everything out so we don't essentially get potholes, but...
Well, Steve, here's the deal. You're a mover and shaker in this industry. Let's shut that down.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
All right, fact or fiction, since it's your birthday, I like your chances, but go ahead.
There you go, Steve. The blue belt frog got its name because they are blue, and they defend and attack with karate-like kicks.
The blue belt frog. Do they know karate? Remember, you could ask for help on the show, or you could just answer.
I'm going to go with fact.
You think it's a fact?
Yeah.
John?
No, I made that up.
Oh!
Sorry.
But wait, hold on a second. Didn't he say it was his birthday?
I thought he did.
Holy cow, you're a big winner anyway, Steve. Hold on.
Awesome.
There you go.
Can you picture the back legs of a frog doing one of those?
Hi-ya!
They got long back legs.
Sean's in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
Fact or fiction, John?
Here you go. The largest manufacturer of tires in the world is Lego.
What?
Huh?
Fact or fiction?
Say it again.
The largest manufacturer of tires in the world is Lego.
Lego makes tires? Wouldn't okay. I know that?
This is. I think I know where he's going.
You mean the little Lego tires?
The largest manufacturer of tires. G?
I am going to say that Lego's parent company is under the umbrella of...
Oh, you think it's like Bridgestone owns Lego, that kind of deal?
Yes, or maybe or Michelin or somebody. Like it's plastics, right? Are tires made out of plastic or rubber? Rubber? Plastic?
I thought that was Nerf. Aren't all tigers Nerf? Tigers Nerf? Sean, what do you think?
I'm just hoping this is a layup. I'm going to go ahead and go with her that this is a fact.
Ding, it is a fact.
Ding. It is a fact.
Yes, it is okay, a fact. But it's a fact because they make the tiny toy tires, right?
Correct.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, Dave got it right away.
I gave
Dave
it away. Right
yeah.
Oh.
I'm just glad I didn't have to pretend it was my birthday today.
Yeah, you actually won outright. Not like that weasel Steve.
Listen, all I know is when you step on a Lego, it hurts. That's all I know.
Oh, yeah. Very you know what? Painful. Actually, Lego is the largest manufacturer of cursing at night.
Yes.
My son loved Legos. That's all he did growing up. Of course, he is an engineer now, so that explains.
Oh, well, it worked out.
Yeah.
Dan's in Evanston. Hi, Dan.
Steve, are you taking open calls right now?
I'm taking calls to play fact or fiction. Dan, would you like to play?
Oh, no. Thank you, though. Thank you.
Well, don't hang up. What do you want? What did you want to say?
Well, hey, Steve, I just wanted to say one thing, and your show is awesome.
Well, thank
but
you.
I really think, right, in Illinois, we talk about this every week,
uh-huh.
we need changes. So the only people that are going to make the change are the people, right?
Right.
So, for example, if we set and we wanted to have a 1% real estate tax cap, we wanted to have that for all the homeowners in Illinois. So Springfield, Champaign, Chicago.
I like where you're going so far.
1%. That's what we want as the people, the citizens of Illinois. So we want that on the ballot for November 2020.
Mm-hmm.
But we need around 380,000 signatures in order to get it on the ballot.
And what you're saying is the extra money that we would have in our pockets, we would pump back into the economy, and therefore the state would benefit.
Exactly. It gives everybody in Illinois a raise day one.
All right, hold on. That's not a crazy idea.
That was an unusual fact or fiction.
I don't know that the math works, but that's not a crazy idea.
Did I make that up?
That's what I was wondering.
Was Dan a fact or fiction?
Dan's a fact.
You've won. Congratulations,
wow.
Dan. You're a big
it's not even my birthday.
Yeah,
you get a bagel.
This is so good.
It's my sister's birthday. We can give it to her.
So
that sounds good.
Now, you think about what Dan said. If you had a 1% cap on your tax, Dave, what would you spend the money on? In all likelihood, you'd spend a good chunk of it here in Illinois.
Yeah, of course I would. Sure.
Gee, wouldn't you?
If I owned a home. If I owned property.
All the time you're spending at Home Depot, don't I? Think?
No. I mean, but generally, that's what tax breaks do, is that it helps stimulate the economy, and people spend more of that money that they've saved, right, on
well,
things.
Look at this FACACTA tax break that Paul Ryan slammed together. Because all the corporate tax money that the giant corporations, who, by the way, I'm a big fan of giant corporations, mm-hmm. just so we're clear, the giant corporations got, they're spending that money wherever
See,
they...
listen, I just skip this whole part. I just go ahead and spend frivolously to begin with and just don't own the home.
That's why her new company, SpendFrivolously.com, is doing so well.
But where was the part about that tax break to the corporations being handed back to their employees?
No, just means the richer guys get richer.
Right.
Now that I don't agree with.
Yeah. And I've said this before.
The rich guys are rich enough already.
I told Ro
really,
this.
Really rich. It's, I mean, the, yeah, you know.
I said this to Ro on the air. The tax break doesn't need to go to Ro. It needs to go to everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, Ro owns
Did you
horses.
Single out Ro when you told
I said Ro, me. I said people who are doing
Ro
okay.
Ro is really, really rich. He's got a horse.
That's generally, it's no different than the 1870s. If you had a horse,
I mean,
they knew you were killing it.
A racing horse, not like a buggy horse.
7:23. We got to do the MVPP. We'll do it next, Steve.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by Mega Pros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
7:28, it's time for the most valuable person on the planet. And Deputy John Forlenza is on the phone. You're going to love what Deputy John does for work. Good morning, Deputy John.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. You're the most valuable person on the planet, but only because of your friend Dax.
Of course.
All right. Explain who Dax is.
Dax is my German Shepherd dog partner who works with me every night when I go to work for the Lake County Sheriff's Office. So he is my partner, a five-year-old male German Shepherd dog.
How long does it take to train a police dog?
It takes a long time.
Right.
So the initial pre-training that takes place in Topps Kennels up in Grays Lake here was contracted by the county to train their police dogs. It takes about 3 months when they get the dog in. When they got Dax, they spent 3 months pre-training them in narcotics and obedience and basic obstacle work.
What's the best thing Dax does?
What's the best thing that he does?
Yeah. Like what's his top skill?
I would say for Dax, he enjoys the scent work the most, and specifically tracking. That's where he's smelling the ground for a specific scent of an individual to find them. So he likes to use his nose, and it's kind of glorified in TV and movies where you see the bloodhounds tracking and smelling the ground and chasing after someone, but shepherds can be just as proficient, and that I would say is his favorite thing to do.
5 years old, so this dog was identified as a potential police dog before training. At what age?
Well, very early on. The way the dogs are selected in the beginning is not for any aggressiveness that they have, because the handlers have no experience when they initially get the dog. I was very much a green handler. I didn't have any experience handling a police canine. So what they want early on is not an aggressive dog. They want a dog that has an extremely high play drive, a dog that loves to play with a toy. So that's really what they're looking for. It's a tug toy. Right, and they base everything on that. So if the dogs enjoy playing and are good-natured, that's actually how they select a police dog. The aggressive work where the dog is trained to be protective is something that can always be put into the dog later on as they mature and acquire other skills.
Deputy John Forlenza, Lake County, and your buddy Dax. By the way, the pair got the Boris Award for top apprehension, was top finisher in agility and tracking, received an invitation from the USPCA National Patrol Dog Field Trial. We ain't kidding around here. Dax is a real deal.
Well, we do a lot of training. We work pretty hard, and with that process comes the knowledge that the dog gains that, and with that he gains confidence. Once they get confidence, they trust themselves in the decision that they make, and then they start to perform really well at an optimal level, and I like to think that's where we're at. That's what we try and keep at.
And that's Dax there. Dax, let me ask Dax a couple of quick questions here. Dax, are you excited about being the most valuable canine on the planet? Jay, do you have any questions for Dax?
Well, I mean, I kind of have a question for Deputy John.
Well, shoot.
Dax wanted you to ask.
Yeah, sorry, Dax.
Go ahead, Deputy John.
Okay, here's my... I know Dax is really highly skilled and doing some serious work, but, I mean, do you ever, like, misplace something, like, in your house and then, like, have Dax find it for you? Because, like, I'm constantly misplacing my cell phone or my keys.
So the way you picture this is Deputy John doesn't want to get up to get the remote, and he has Dax go get it for him?
No, I mean, sometimes I misplace my phone, my keys. I can't find something. Can he sniff anything out? And then, like, you know, he could retrieve the remote or the beer from the fridge.
Well, first I have to tell you that I've never in 4 years had anyone ask me that question specific to my house. So that's a that is a new one.
And you heard Dax. Dax was not happy about that question. Did you
I'm
hear
sorry,
Dax?
So never in my house, but it's to answer your question seriously, I've lost my phone in the field before when we're doing searches and whatnot. And my initial thought is, oh no, I lost my phone. And then you remember, wait a minute, I have a police dog who is trained for article searches, and he can use his nose to go back out there and find my own phone or find my keys. So that's come in handy before, where he certainly has retrieved items that are out in the field, because that's what he's trained to do. That's one of the other things, to smell articles. He can go out there and he can find, in all seriousness, weapons that are discarded by fleeing felons that we've chased.
Well, that's great.
Who realize they're going to be in trouble, so they'll toss those weapons. And a lot of times, it's not necessarily in a field. It could be in a residential area where, if we're not careful and trained in that area, someone, especially a child, could come across that. So that's not something that we want. So in all seriousness, that's something that we train dogs to do a lot, is to detect items with human scent on them that have been discarded. That's called an article search. So,
yes, he can get the remote for you and a beer.
And Dax is really a good-looking dog. Dax is very handsome.
Sure, without a doubt.
I think so, but I'm biased. So.
No, that's he's beautiful, beautiful dog.
You know, and I got another question for Dax. Hey, Dax, do you mind when people look at you or your fellow canines and go, "Oh, what a good boy! Oh, what a good boy!"
I think it embarrasses him.
I think that's what he said. I think he said, "Stop it! Talk to me like a human being."
He's so cute, though.
I think he likes it. Thank you.
You're a good man. Thanks for all the work you're doing. And here's another real-world example. Right after that last big competition, Dax is able to track and find a man who had threatened to do harm to himself and get him the care he needed. And that's just one example of this award-winning dog team between Deputy John and Dax. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
So, bye-bye, Dax. Bye, Dax. Bye. I'm going to get Dax upset.
Wow.
All of that sponsored by Mega Pros. They make it fun to get stuff done. Could Ozzy ever be a police dog? What's Ozzy weigh, about 18 ounces?
About 21 pounds. I think he might be a little light. I bet he could be. He could have a desk job.
You know what he could do? He could work undercover. Nobody'd see Ozzy coming.
No one would suspect.
Right. Yeah. It's unfortunate that there's definitely no police cats.
Yes. Police cats.
No, I think that's a good thing.
Can you imagine? You know what the cats do? The cats are part of the drug cartel that the dogs chase down. We'll come back to the headlines next, 720 WGN.
This thing is costing me a fortune being president. Somebody said, he might have rented a room to a man from Saudi Arabia for $500. What about the $5 billion that I'll lose? You know, it's probably going to cost me, including upside, downside, lawyers, because every day they sue me for something.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Honestly, what's more attractive than Donald Trump whining about the money he's losing being president? How dare you question my president, Donald Trump? Every day I wake up and go, what sort of bizarre dream am I having, and when do I wake up?
Was that a real text you just got?
Which one?
The thing you just quoted, no?
That wasn't a good quote from a text. That was actually me.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I say stuff like that. Any moment now, Donald Trump will be calling.
Late illusion. Oh,
wow. Speaking of, this is my ringtone.
Late illusion. Late illusion.
Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, Cochran. Hey, let's make this fast. They tee off in about 10 minutes, and I can't hold up the course. Oh, wait. Yes, I can. I own it. And I'm the president. Double OK signs.
Thanks for giving us some very valuable time during your vacation at your golf club in New Jersey. You enjoying your time there?
It's okay. I mean, come on. It's New Jersey. It's like West Palm Beach, only a lot more gold chains and tracksuits.
Right.
And I will tell you, I'm enjoying this time very much, Cochran. I'm getting to do all the things I don't get to do during my normal, very rigid, very tough executive time routine.
Right.
Like watch some Fox News, catch up on my tweeting, play some golf.
If only there was a way you could work those into your regular schedule, sir, you'd be unstoppable.
I know, right? Right, Mike?
That's right. Vice President Pence is with you, I see, as well. Listen, we heard your former communications director, Anthony Scaramucci, say that you're in full nuclear meltdown mode and you need to be replaced on the 2020 ticket. Well, what do you make of that?
You know, seriously, what do you expect from a guy they named after a pasta dish at the Olive Garden? Look, even if I was having a meltdown, which isn't happening, by the way, I wouldn't have it until my second term. Mm. It's one of the things I learned as a reality TV show producer. Pacing, Cochran. Mm-hmm. Pacing. Mm-hmm. Seriously, the Mooch has zero credibility, which makes total sense, because I believe Scaramucci is actually an old Italian name that means more of an embarrassment than Frank Stallone. And that's saying something, yeah,
I don't know that that's possible. Listen, I also want to get your take on this. Joe Biden has gotten some criticism. He said earlier this week, or maybe it was late last week, poor kids are just as bright as white kids. He meant to say wealthy kids.
Ouch.
He admitted he made the mistake. Is that going to hurt him?
Look, in all fairness, Sleepy Joe didn't mean anything by that. It was just a slip of the dentures. It really was.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that's going to hurt Joe's chances for the Democratic nomination are the nut jobs in his own party. You know, your AOCs, your Omars, your Pocahontases. Those people are so far left, they make Nancy Pelosi seem like Ronald Reagan.
Really?
Only with more hair dye.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, at least the Gipper colored his roots, Nancy. Now, is this going to hurt Sleepy Joe's chances? Absolutely not. The nomination's almost a year away, and I can guarantee you that he's going to say a lot more additional stupid and idiotic things between now and then. Nobody's going to even remember this. I mean, after all, it didn't hurt me when I said Biden wasn't playing with a full deck, remember?
Uh-huh.
And I know all about playing with a full deck because I've bankrupted four, count them, four casinos.
Good for you, sir. Mr. President, there's a petition going around with more than 65,000 signatures trying to get the street outside Trump Tower renamed after President Obama. What do you think of that?
You know, I think it's a great idea because it's a dead-end street. See what I did there? Look, if they want to name the street after Obama, they have my blessing. I just think it's going to be weird to see Kenyon Loser Lane painted on a street sign. I can't wait to hear the Google Maps chick say that when she gives out the turn-by-turn directions.
Just not going to happen. President Trump, some people are criticizing your new immigration policy for people seeking legal U.S. citizenship or green cards. Basically, it favors wealthy people and more skilled people, and people say it's unfair to people who are just trying to get to a better life.
Hey, I just did another rewrite on the Statue of Liberty poem. Want to hear it?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Give me your energetic, your rich, your self-motivated go-getters who use deodorant, yearning to make even more money than they already have. Send these tremendous people to me. I lift my lamp beside the beautiful solid gold door, ready to buzz them in.
Well, that is really unfortunate.
Now, honestly, I think a lot of people agree that we should allow skilled people into this country. You know, like engineers, doctors, scientists, Eastern European supermodels, 5'10" or taller. Personally, I highly recommend the Eastern European models. It's like having an affair with a Bond villain. The bottom line is this. We don't need more people coming in with zero abilities taking up space. You know, like my son Eric.
Right.
This is America, Cochran. We want to open our arms to welcome everyone in, okay? And that says it on the Statue of Liberty, on the big menu she's holding.
It's not a menu. Let me switch topics. We wanted to ask about Chris Cuomo, caught on video, losing it, threatened to throw a guy down a flight of stairs. What do you think about that?
This guy. You know, Chris Cuomo, Fredo is an insult to Fredo, calling him that. I haven't seen a response that angry and unhinged since the last time I asked Melania to hold my hand. So sad.
True. Yeah, true.
And wasn't it nice of Chris Cuomo to combat the Italian stereotypes by threatening to throw the guy down a flight of stairs? Sounds like some kind of wise guy. I'm surprised he didn't threaten to break his kneecaps at a bocce ball tournament. Now, Chris Cuomo's a loudmouth, meathead, wannabe journalist who really needs to spend a lot less time reporting on fake news and working out at the gym because of his midlife crisis.
Wow, that's strong. Now, you don't have to bring CNN into this.
Why not? CNN's a total joke. Their entire programming schedule's full of Fredos, although they're not as bad as MSNBC, which is basically the Godfather 3 of news networks. completely unwatchable. That I can tell you.
I know the golf course is waiting, but the big story, of course, that I know you're mostly focused on, Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth are done after really less than a year. What's the relationship advice you'd give to them?
Finally, some hard news. Look, I would tell them that the first divorce is always the most difficult and the most expensive. But to the former couple, I say it gets easier the second and third time around. Trust me. My biggest advice is to take a deep breath, believe that you'll find true love again, and hide all your assets. Actually, forget the first two things. Just hide your assets.
Okay, all right.
And to Miley, honestly, the next time you get married, Miley, make sure it's the right Hemsworth brother. Always go with Thor. Thor's better. Better looking. He's way more successful than Liam. Liam's a loser. He's the Chris Cuomo of Hemsworth Brothers. Believe me.
Well, look what you did there. You tied it all up, didn't you, sir?
Nice big bow for you, Catherine. Yeah,
thanks for calling, Mr. President.
Later, loser.
So the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. And remember, the J is silent.
I'm a little surprised that you asked him about Miley Cyrus.
Well, it seems to me that's his sweet spot. You know, that's his go-to zone.
Okay.
And you could tell that was the best advice he had in the entire phone call.
Yeah.
Dean's coming up with more on entertainment. Before we take our last break before the news, here's producer Vivian, who would prefer that we all speak Greek, and is going to teach us a new word. Yesterday was Galamari.
No, yesterday was Kalimera, not Calamari.
Kalimera. Kalimera, John, means good morning.
Calamari.
Kalimera.
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 Kalimera. I just like saying that. That's
fun. You guys are turning it into an Italian
over.
I know, it's true. It's true.
Hey, Kalimera.
Kalimeria. Yeah.
All over Chicago, there's Greek people going, what the hell is going on?
Sorry.
I'm so sorry.
All right, what's the new word?
Today's Greek word is kurasmeni.
Kurasmeni.
Are there any short words in Greek?
Could as many.
Could as many.
Could as many. Could as many is 6 be there? Is that how it is? Could as many is 6 be there?
Could as many.
Could as many. It does sound like that. I think could as many probably means many people have cooties.
Close. Could as many.
It means tired.
Oh, tired.
Oh. You're tired.
So Steve is could as many?
You're tired.
It's funny. As I said, are there any short words
so
in
Greek? So if I could say, say calamari. No, I could say calamera.
Kulasmera.
Could as many.
Could as many.
Well, how do I say I'm tired?
Ime kurasmenos.
That's too hard.
Ime
kurasmenos.
Ime kurasmenos.
All right, I'm out.
Kalamera. Ime kurasmeni. Is that even remotely close?
For the male, you say os at the end, so it's kurasmenos. So ime kurasmenos. Mm.
Kurasmenos.
Just pass the ouzo.
Menos. The next digit is 4.
Riveting.
Steve's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than one night.
More on entertainment sponsored by Ravinia.
Ravinia.
John DeCoste is here. Our
John DeCoste.
Apprentice.
Our apprentice moron. Morthon. Moron.
Yes.
Dean, there's a great story, which I don't know if you guys are doing. And gee, I don't know if you've heard this either. But there's a 15-year-old Ariana Grande fan named Dorothy who's got a bunch of social media followers and apparently can't stay off her phone. So her mom was asking her for help in cooking, and she wasn't paying attention, and she created a small kitchen fire.
Happens to the best of us.
So mom took away her phone. After mom took away her phone, she then tried to tweet and was successful in tweeting briefly on her Nintendo. And then she moved to her Wii.
Wow.
And each time, mom kept taking stuff away. Finally, she tweeted from her LG smart refrigerator.
Holy cow. You are kidding me.
I'm not making it up. Not making it up. Again, a kid's name is Dorothy. And how much did the kid learn? Her last tweet from her LG refrigerator, or this is back from the Wii, I guess. Hey, guys, OMG, my mom's at work, so I'm looking for my phone. Wish me luck.
No, there's a campaign, hashtag free Dorothy. that's taking off like crazy. In a way, you got to admire her ingenuity. Right?
Absolutely.
But kid wouldn't stop.
I just am trying to think of what my parents would do if I went around them like that. And
well, you wouldn't even be get to that, because by the time your dad's hand hit your head,
I'd still be looking for my teeth.
Dorothy tweeted, I don't know if this is going to tweet. I'm talking to my fridge. What the heck? My mom confiscated all of my electronics again. Well, maybe if you weren't such an unctuous little punk, she wouldn't have to keep taking your stuff.
It's an addiction, Steve. People are addicted to social.
She tweeted from her phone, her handheld Nintendo device, a Wii U gaming console, and her LG smart refrigerator.
Getting responses and likes shoots off endorphins in the brain to the equivalent of doing coke.
That's probably why we don't understand it, because Dean and I are endorphin free.
I have a different theory on that. The people, you see people all the time with their phones, and they're just nervously checking their phones all the time. My theory is that these are people who are in constant need of validation. Mm-hmm. Do you like me? Are you texting me? Are you tweeting me? Yep. Are you me? It's this ridiculous need for self validation.
Instead, they could just go into media.
Right, and do what we do.
Right, be desperate like we are for approval. Yeah. You see stuff in restaurants you didn't see 10 years ago, 20 years ago, certainly, and that is people who leave their homes and they go out to have dinner together and don't talk to each other.
Mm-hmm. On the phone.
They sit at the dinner and look at their phones.
Right.
It's like, why'd you leave your house? Well, the food's better here.
I do when I go out, some people take their phones. I take my smart vacuum cleaner with me.
Right. We go, why is Dean speaking into the Electrolux again?
Right.
That's brilliant, Dean, because sometimes there's crumbs left on the table. Yeah. It's not quite clean.
What does a smart refrigerator? What is the purpose of that?
Why would your refrigerator need social media capability so it could communicate with other refrigerators?
No, they have refrigerators now that know when the milk is low or when you need eggs, and they go ahead and order the stuff for you.
You shouldn't have social media capabilities. You're not trying to create a refrigerator community.
The refrigerator is saying, we're low on eggs.
How would the refrigerator know that?
Yeah, what if you're going on vacation? You don't want any eggs.
There are cameras inside the refrigerator.
Listen, guys, I'm just telling you what the refrigerator does. I can't explain its motivations.
If it's any consolation, I have a special coming out on the LG.
You do?
The comedy special.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Instead of Netflix, you just skipped right ahead to the LG refrigerator.
Yeah. I subscribe to the LG's Instagram page just to see what's in your refrigerator. Because the pictures are fantastic.
You do not want to see what I have in my refrigerator.
By the way, how old am I? I subscribe. 8:19, here's what's coming up.
Yo, kids.
ASAP Rocky was convicted, and a restless nation is holding its breath that he's okay. Placido Domingo's in the news. Harry Styles in the news. Taylor Swift in the news. Jay-Z is in the news. All of that coming up.
You'll be calling his name.
Sponsored by Ravinia.
Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720.
So, here on Moron Entertainment, ASAP Rocky.
ASAP Rocky.
Is that the Rocky that flies around with Bullwinkle, his pal?
That is a completely different Rocky.
Oh.
They live in Frostbite Falls, Minnesota. 6 foot metal munching moon men.
Which Rocky are you talking about?
I'm talking about the one whose real name is Rakim Myers. The hip-hop star, the rapper, ASAP Rocky.
Sure. As soon as possible, Rocky is what I call him.
As soon as possible, Rocky and two of his companions found guilty by a Swedish court this morning. He was charged with, assault.
Are all the brothers and sisters acronyms for things? Like, has he got a sister named FYI Betty? That kind of thing?
LOL Jimmy.
Right. ASAP Rocky. Now, he was convicted, so I understand there's no jails in Sweden because they're a peaceful people.
No, that's not true.
Wait, the joke's coming.
They're made out of milk chocolate.
Your penalty is you're locked in an IKEA and you have to put together display furniture while you listen to ABBA music.
Sorry for interrupting. That was a much better joke.
You know, that's how I was going to get it out, even if you I had are, to plow through that
you
snow.
Had, you had confidence. It was a good joke.
Hey, well, I'm being told we have the warden on the line right now from the Swedish prison. Oh, let's go there. Sounds like they're going to have something to eat there at the jail.
Well, you know, you got to eat. You got to eat. Let me translate. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, what was that thing?
I'm fluent in Swedish.
You're in fluent.
That was the judge who said that that ASAP and his two friends who were also convicted today are convicted of assault and sentenced to two conditional sentences, which means that they will not face prison time unless they commit a similar offense in Sweden again. I'm guessing that they will not be returning to Sweden anytime soon.
And again, that's an official statement from the jail in Sweden.
That's correct.
Placido Domingo.
Placido Domingo. Yesterday, allegations came out in which over a dozen women accused him of inappropriate conduct throughout his career. He's denied all of it, and he says that it's not true. But yesterday, several symphonies canceled appearances that they had scheduled with Placido Domingo. He was supposed to appear in Philadelphia and San Francisco, canceled. The New York Metropolitan Opera, where he is scheduled to play the lead in Macbeth next month, said that they're going to wait until a little more information comes out about all of the allegations before they decide what to do.
Harry Styles.
Harry Styles, who Steve knows as a one-time member of One Direction.
Mm-hmm. And also the one I'm most often confused with outside of Denzel.
Very true. Very true. Mm-hmm. But Steve is compared to him because of the hairiness of the his name.
Right. That's right. Because I'm hairy like an orangutan.
Right. And then he built something in IKEA in his cell.
Don't try to make it up to me now.
It's too late. Harry Styles was offered a role in the Little Mermaid, live action remake that is going to be made, and he turned it down. Didn't give specific reasons. A source close to the film say that he's a fan of the project. He just respectfully declined and will not be part of this now.
There's a story tied to our smart refrigerator story, which I didn't see from yesterday. Haryana, India.
I beg your pardon?
Haryana, India. There's a new child who's gotten a little too much in life. Celebrating his birthday, he pushed his brand new BMW into a river because he was upset his parents didn't get him a Jaguar instead because it would have more room for his friends. Well, it's hard not to take the kid's side on this one. I mean, what kind of parents are they?
Who can't relate to that story?
I mean, I really would have taken the BMW. Like, I mean, he could have just given it to me.
Well, it's in a river. I'm just going to have to go to India to get it. Taylor Swift.
T-Swift is famous for doing nice things for her fans.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm a Swiftie.
She has struck again. Me too. She has struck again. She heard about a college student in Canada who is having difficulty paying tuition and rent. This person is a big Taylor Swift fan, went to concerts, actually met Taylor Swift and has communicated with her on Tumblr. But Taylor Swift heard about her problems, sat down, wrote her a check for $6,000.
Wow.
Along with the message, get your learn on, girl.
I think probably English would not be the first class I'd think of in that particular scenario. Get your learn on, girl.
Oh, it's just, you know.
Get your learn on.
Cool chick talk?
Yeah.
Okay. Jay-Z, who I'm often confused with when I'm not being confused with Harry Styles or Denzel
Washington or George Clooney. Uh-huh. He's teamed up with the NFL, for whom he has been very critical for the past several years since the Colin Kaepernick decision to kneel during the national anthem.
Oh, I thought that was because people weren't kneeling in front of Beyonce. Which, by the way, they should.
Jay-Z has been named the NFL's live music entertainment strategist. He will be among those now making decisions for anything entertainment-wise for the Super Bowl, most notably the Super Bowl halftime show. So it's possible we could be getting a Beyoncé return at the Super Bowl halftime show with her husband in charge of the whole thing.
I guess that's a cool gig if you want free Super Bowl tickets, but Jay-Z can afford them anyway.
He can. I just think it's so interesting that he has been so critical of the NFL
right.
until they offered him a job.
Yeah.
Hypocrisy in show business? How dare you?
Yeah, I can be turned around, by the way, if...
if you were paid millions of dollars?
I can't think of anybody that I've been that critical of, but if I'm happy to completely change my position.
I mean, Steve had to pay you lots of money, right, to do this show with him.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Just showing
yeah.
up here.
Wait till you see the book come out.
It's unbelievable. Good news out of Wall Street, Dean. The market's down 430 points in the first 2 minutes.
Fantastic.
So run and sell everything. No, don't. That's a terrible idea.
Hang on. I'm selling everything on my smart toaster. Does everything except the smart toaster does everything except make toast.
How could it? It's too busy doing all the other stuff.
Right.
Thank you, buddy.
All right.
8:32 back of the headlines next on 720.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Texter says, I don't need a smart fridge to tell me what I'm running out of in my refrigerator because I can, oh, I don't know, open the refrigerator and look to see what I'm running out of. Seems like a good call. Hey, want to do a quick congratulations, if you don't mind. Buck Lepard is here. Buck's been on the show before, celebrating 90 years. You look good for an old guy.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
90 years at the Music Box. When's the actual anniversary?
The Music Box turns 90 years old on August 22nd.
Are we 90 or 95, Dave? WGN.
95.
You're 96.
So we were an old, we were an older brother.
Yeah, really, so we're the young kids on the block.
You said you love going to the Music Box by yourself, G.
I do. It's actually a theater that I feel comfortable going to see a movie by myself. It's really good snacks. There's beer. People that go there are big movie lovers / nerds that are into the independent movies they have there and some of the classics that you guys re-show, like Die Hard at Christmas time.
Yep.
So what are you doing for the big anniversary celebration?
We got a week-long program of just a lot of different... we're trying to get one of everything that we're sort of known for. So we've got, you know, a Mary Poppins sing-along. There's a tribute to all the sing-along stuff we do before. We're bringing in the director of The Fugitive to do a screening of that. One of the great Chicago movies.
Yes.
We're doing a Dolly Parton marathon, a Dolly Parton 9 to 5 marathon.
Thus the intro?
Yeah, from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. We're showing a bunch of Dolly Parton movies, including obviously 9 to 5, and then Straight Talk, which was shot in Chicago, and Dolly Parton plays a... radio
talk
advice
shows.
Host.
Yeah. Yeah. And because the theater's 90 years old, don't you have to show silent movies?
Yep, we're doing a silent film. It's World City and its teens. It's actually a Chicago-shot travelogue from 1931, so a lot of footage of old Chicago, and we're going to have a live score provided on the Music Box organ by our house organist, Dennis Scott.
I have never seen a silent movie on the big screen. So
you've just bailed after the clips where the piano music starts and then the screen comes up with the overdone dialogue.
Yeah, I'll be curious if I think I'll go for that.
It's all
it's
we had
it's
when I was a kid.
Experience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, once the talkies,
no, you didn't.
Once the talkies came along, Dave, everything changed for you.
Changed.
No.
There's a Mary Poppins sing-along, as you said. There's something called Music Box of Horrors. This, of course, would tie into the Halloween season.
Yep. Yeah. Every October, we do a 24-hour horror film festival. So for a little taste of that, we're doing one of the movies that has been requested over the years called Society. Mm. And the director, Brian Usna, is coming. He's bringing his own personal 35mm print. It's this really crazy, goofy body horror movie. A lot of...
really?
Gross practical effects that really hold up.
Nick DiGilio will be all over that.
I really think you should do movies that feature Steve Cochran.
Well, we could do the Steve Cochran Film Festival.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've worked in 5 or 6 films. None of the parts are longer than, say, 45 seconds. Mm-hmm. So the entire film festival would take 90 seconds tops.
There we go.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and it'd be a big ticket seller.
You play yourself in all of them?
No. No.
He is
all
a character, actor.
All character work. I play a weatherman. I play a drug thug.
Ooh.
A waiter. All the important parts that really the movie couldn't be made without me.
What movie do you play a drug thug in?
I was a drug thug in a movie called Crossing the Bridge with Stephen Baldwin. Not Alec Baldwin. Stephen Baldwin. Jason Gedrick. Remember Jason Gedrick?
Mm-hmm.
And what? Josh Charles. Josh Charles can turn to a very big star.
Just an idea.
Yeah. And I'm one of the drug thugs. I have quite a line in that movie. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Oh, and look, one of them's wearing a tie. Yeah, that was right before a big fight scene. All right. And the one thing I really want to know about is this Back to the Future deal. What are you doing with that?
Oh, yeah. We're playing Back to the Future on 70 millimeter, which is it's on film. It's on celluloid. It's an extra large film format. It sort of rose to prominence in the 1960s. That's what they shot Lawrence of Arabia and 2001, A Space Odyssey on. And then it had a comeback in the 80s, excuse me, where they would put a lot of the blockbusters on 70 millimeter, stuff like Die Hard and Ghostbusters. And so we're playing Back to the Future Part 2 on 70 millimeter. It's the first time we've ever played it on 70. And it's just sort of a bigger format. You get a lot of richer colors and more detail and looks beautiful, and obviously that's a really fun film.
So Buck, over the course of the 90 years of the Music Box, there must have been times where it was threatened, where you could close at any given moment. You got a story about any of those eras?
It opened in 1929, and it was actually one of the smaller movie theaters at the time. Mm-hmm. We seat 700, but at the time a lot of theaters sat 2,000 or 3,000 people, and those theaters went away as numbers dwindled, and we sort of endured. There were times where in like the mid-70s where it was focused on, instead of first run stuff, it was a lot of like Bollywood imports and sort of, we'll say, hardcore softcore stuff in the evening time.
Not the family fair.
Ooh.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. There would be times where in the mornings you could come and see, some Disney classic, the Computer War Tennis Shoes.
Wow, what a range.
And then come back and see hardcore porn later.
Exactly.
When did it turn into the art house that it's known for now in large way, known as an art house, and really nationally renowned as such?
Yeah, this was the early 1980s. 1982 was sort of when it got bought by new owners, renovated, and sort of rebranded as the art house we know. We did a lot of repertory classic films. Double features was sort of the mainstay. Every day would be a different double feature.
Cool.
And then a lot of the art house indie stuff, and then that continued through the 90s, and that's where we ended up today.
And Dave, you remember when a nickel would get you both movies? Remember when that
yes,
was
I
in?
Do.
Remember
I
you
am,
telling me about
and
that.
Popcorn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's great to see you, Buck. And what do people do for information on this and to make sure they're part of the big celebration?
Yeah, you can visit our website, musicboxtheater.com. Theater spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E.
The fancy way.
Yes.
Like the British way.
Yeah, the fancy way.
If you go the other way, you'll find yourself looking up shows on a Broadway theater or
gotcha.
One in San Francisco.
Broadway, kiss our butt.
Yeah.
Or you can find us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're on all of those.
And the amazing thing about Buck is you look at Buck and you go, 90 years, you're 12.
He looks good for 90.
Yeah.
The music box has aged me a little bit.
Yeah. Well, but you're a great film.
See how I look after the Dolly Parton 9-to-5.
Hey, you're going to look great.
She's delightful, even though all her movies aren't.
Yeah.
Great to see you, man. Thanks for coming over.
Thanks for having me.
It's 8:51. I'm told that coming up, we've got a conspiracy theorist, an expert on all of them, because there's a lot of talk about that right now.
Are you perpetuating this conspiracy theory?
Not at all. No,
you
I believe in truth and facts.
You should not be contributing to this.
I'm just trying to find out what this nut has to say in just a second.
Should I get out my tinfoil hat?
Yeah, well, different from the one you're wearing.
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Who killed who? Who's hiding what? Is anybody telling the truth anymore? There's a guy on the phone who claims to be the preeminent conspiracy expert in America today. We go to the phone now. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Listen. I'm the expert. Listen.
Okay, what is your name?
No. No names. Just refer to me for this conversation as Bob Sokolowski.
Okay.
Bob has a lot of saliva.
Bob Sokolowski.
Bobby.
Bob Sokolowski. All right, that, but that's not your name?
I'm not saying.
Okay, all right, fine.
I'm saying.
All right, so I need to ask you about a couple of things that are out there, a couple of these conspiracy theories.
I'm the guy. This is what I do. Listen.
What about the Kennedy assassination?
Well, you need to know.
Well, I mean, was it Oswald? Was it just Oswald?
It was not just Oswald. Oswald can't even do that by himself. There was one other guy. He was a mastermind. People don't know this. I'm the one who knows this. It was comedian, Vegas entertainer, Joey Bishop.
Joey Bishop killed
Joey Bishop.
John F. Kennedy?
Hey, listen, Frankie was kind of upset that Kennedy didn't go to his house.
Oh,
he
that's right.
He told Joey, you want to be a part of this Rat Pack? Take care of it.
Well, so a hit to make sure Frank was happy. All right, well, let me shift gears for a second. What about these people that say the Earth is flat?
It is.
Oh, no, it's not.
No, here's just listen. It is flat.
Hold on, Bob. Do you want me to listen?
Yeah, listen. Just listen, okay? There's a top and a bottom. It's flat. There's a top and a bottom. The reason it comes out that way is round. They take a camera, like when you're looking to a Christmas ornament, and it rounds out your face. That's what they do.
What about the landing on the moon? I hear people say the moon landing was faked.
It was totally fake.
No,
it was totally fake. That whole thing was filmed on the set of Beach Blanket Bingo, 1965.
With Annette Funicello?
Yeah, and you can even look in the corner. When he lands on the moon, there's a little chair off to the side that says, La Elan, that's Frankie Avalon.
Oh, I did not know that.
You guys, see, just listen to me. I know this.
Should I listen?
Listen.
Is there any other conspiracies out there that you're currently working?
Hey, I found this out not too long ago. Elvis is still alive.
What?
Yeah, he's been working in Branson since 97.
He's in Branson, Missouri.
He's actually an impersonator. How great is that?
So he's playing an Elvis impersonator, but in fact he's Elvis. That's
exactly.
A good cover.
Exactly.
Right. All right, what else?
I guess Vanna White. She's been CGI since 2009.
Vanna White's not even on the show?
She's not even around anymore. Sajak said, I want her gone. Say, fine. If you notice the TV, she's never on at the same time.
That's
look
fair.
To the side, and there's Vanna White,
right.
And there's Sajak, and he's spinning the wheel. She's CGI.
What about when they walk out together?
That's not her.
Oh, that's not. So that's a model?
That's not her.
Okay.
No, it's just a blow-up thing. It's a blow-up doll.
CGI. No, CGI.
CGI.
It really sounds
listen.
Like he's saying CTI.
Listen.
He's got a little
CGI.
Something going on with his saliva.
Okay.
Give me one more.
What am I? Just all your information, basically?
Well, I'm trying to find out the truth about these things as you see it.
Why don't we just talk about the Epstein situation?
Oh, boy, do you know anything about that?
Listen. Just listen.
Hold on a second. Do you want me to listen?
I want you to listen.
All right.
I've gone through extensive research on this. I know exactly who took him out in prison.
Well, tell us. Who was it?
Suzanne Summers.
Why would Suzanne Summers commit a murder?
See, this is what people don't know. She borrowed $125,000 from Epstein to get her product set up on Epstein on TV, okay?
Oh.
She would lose, think of the money she'd lose from the sales of the Thighmaster, the three-way poncho, and the Futsuki.
What? I'm not familiar about the last one. The Futsuki?
Futsuki. It vibrates on your feet.
Oh, the Futsuki.
She would lose so much money. Plus, they're just about to release, in syndication, both She's the Sheriff and
What is happening?
Where'd he go?
What is happening?
I think the line's breaking up.
I think I'm being compromised.
All right, it sounds like someone
know where I'm at.
You.
I think he has to spit.
I think. Well, no. Bob Sokolowski, if that in fact is your real name, listen, we're out of time.
Yeah, listen, I gotta go. I think they're watching me.
That's conspiracy expert. Not his name. Bob Sokolowski.
I've got some bounty towels for everybody if you want to wipe them.
It was a little damp in here, wasn't it? We're going to come back with the news in a second from the North. I'm just glad he cleared all that up.
I learned a lot.
I think the Elvis thing is fascinating.
Sure. Elvis is alive playing an Elvis impersonator in Branson.
It makes all the sense in the world.
The Epstein thing makes sense, too.
It does? It
makes a lot of sense.
Okay, all right, if you say so. Steve from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, next at 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Coming up, some insane State Fair food during State Fair Week in Springfield. I've been doing this off and on all week. Before we get to that, let's get to G. Where did you go?
I went to the Happy Apple Pie Shop in Oak Park.
Is it really happy there?
It truly is. And not just because there's delicious, scrumptious, tasty pie there, mm-hmm. but because it is a for-profit business, but there's a greater mission at stake, and it's a social enterprise. And we should have owner Michelle Mascaro on the phone right now with us. Michelle, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Well, welcome to the show. I want you to tell Steve what you do that makes Happy Apple Pie Shop so special.
Even better. Even better than just the apple pie.
Even better than just the apple pie are our employees here at the pie shop. We employ all kinds of people with and without developmental and intellectual disabilities, oh, cool. and we work together and have a great time.
That's very cool. I've got a special needs brother. It was an employment situation of a company that understands the importance of giving folks a job and getting them out there in the community. So good for you for doing that.
Michelle told me that her inspiration is her daughter. Michelle, you want to tell us a little bit about that and then also how, you know, people age out of the system, too?
Sure. We have our oldest child, Emma, has an intellectual disability. And we've always wondered, as our fellow parents have, where will she work when she grows? When sure. she gets older? Now she is grown up. She's 21, and at 22, she, according to the law of the state, ages out of the system that helps her to find and maintain employment. So it's really important to us that people that age group especially begin to have employment opportunities. So I was out of a job and looking to do something else, and we decided to build an enterprise, employment that would work for people with disabilities, and right here in our own community in Oak Park. And so that's how we started the Happy Apple Pie Shop.
And you have a actual customer sitting to your left.
Yes, we do.
Oh, my Lord.
Tell us about your experience.
First of all, that your place is unbelievable. It is unbelievable. The apple pie...
Well, introduce yourself. You know, so she knows
this is John DeCause, Associated Press. No,
John's the musical director of the yes. show and a fellow comedian and produces the stand-up shows that we do. But he is a fan of Happy Apple Pie.
I grew up in the area, so we went back there. I've had the apple pie. The other pie that I had, and I think I have this right, honey roasted or something, sweet potato?
Yeah, honey roasted sweet potato pie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. It's not even real.
As John will attest, I know that what you're doing is a great thing and the mission behind your business is fantastic, but the pie is unbelievable.
It is. It is.
Well, it is all about the pie.
So what's your big secret?
Lots of butter and lots of love.
There you go. That's all you need.
And she sources locally. Everything is done by hand. It's pretty incredible. Can you list off some of the pies?
All of our pies are 100% natural. We try to invent different things as we go along. Everything is fruit in season, so if you call for peach in January, it will not happen. And, we source all of our fruit from Michigan, from Benton Harbor, Michigan, the Ellis Family Farm. They're also here at the Farmers Market in Oak Park. We actually make our own goat cheese. We have there's a goat farm in the Austin neighborhood, and those goats eat all of our apple peels, and then we get the milk and we make the cheese here. So we're really trying to keep things as local as possible, look for other ways in which to make things good for the environment. Everything that goes out the door is compostable, and we really have a commitment to doing that.
Michelle, before we go, you've got to tell Steve, you have a connection to Steve, right?
You do?
I do have a connection to Steve. Steve Steve, I know your mom, Ann.
Oh, come on. How do you know my
mother? Ann and I worked together for many years at Children's Memorial, where she ran the gift shop I ran a place called the Coles House.
Sure.
And she and I have had dinner together and really enjoyed each other's company. And so I know some about your story because it's also connected to my story. And so it's very interesting how as you get older, the world gets closer. And
really,
so I really,
really
appreciate that.
But I apologize. Did we meet at some point?
No, we have never met.
Okay.
We've never met. I just know you through your mom.
Well,
through Ann is how I know you.
Once mom met me, she didn't want to introduce me to her friends.
Well.
No.
No.
I'm kidding.
For lack of opportunities.
There was a definite connection because Michelle and her wife adopted 3 children.
Yeah,
so.
Very good. I mean, good for you. Yeah. You're doing some wonderful things. I hope you're proud of yourself because you certainly should be.
Well, you know, every day we come here and we're happy and we create some good in the world is a good day.
On behalf of my brother, Mickey, and the entire special needs community and the folks that love him and get it, because you get 10 times what you put into a relationship with a special needs individual, they give back in ways that you'll never even understand. So take your time to understand, whether it's a checkout line at Jewel or going to Happy Apple Pie and getting some of the best pie. Apparently, you say the best pie anywhere.
It's unbelievable. They are closed this week for vacation, so don't kill me. Go next week.
That's okay.
And beautiful thing is that when you make an inclusive workspace, Michelle says it changes the complete atmosphere of your business.
No question.
Mm-hmm. Let me just clarify. It's okay to start standing in line today.
Oh, yeah, you can stand in line.
Okay, because I will be starting in line today.
Yeah, no question about it. You got a website, Michelle?
Pardon?
Got a website?
Yes, we do. It's happyapplepie.com.
Good one.
And we're happy to have people go to the website. More importantly, our Facebook page, Happy Apple Pie Makers, and our Instagram. Both places where we post our pies each week. We don't have a set menu. We always have apple. We always have chocolate. And everything else is up to the market.
Wow. Wow. Great having you on. Thank you.
We make pies, too.
Thanks.
We make pot pie. So if you want dinner, come for pot pie.
Oh, wow.
It's really good.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. And I'll say hi to Mom.
Thank you.
And my story and
in
video.
The Sun-Times.
Yeah, Sun-Times website under the grid subheading. And also we'll be posting to our pages as well.
But you want to make sure people understand they're off this week. They're back
next
week.
They are off this week. So I was a little nervous about that, but. You know, go in force next week.
Right. Have you had the pot pie?
You know what? She wasn't making the pot pie that week. She only does it 2 weeks out of the months, the summer months, because people just are so nuts about it. It's hard for her to... She rolls out each pie crust by hand with her grandmother's rolling pin. Mm. Okay, everybody? So it's a lot of work, but it's so, so good.
You okay, Steve?
Yeah.
And you know what the other thing? Can I add one more thing? She pays her employees, whether traditional or non-traditional, the Oak Park minimum wage, which is $12 an hour.
Oh.
And the reason why that's important is that there's legislation in Illinois that if you employ somebody with a disability, an intellectual or physical or emotional, you can pay them less than the $12.
It's ridiculous.
So, but she makes sure to pay everybody $12. So she's really, and she makes sure that her employees are seen.
Is that law on the books now, or it's pending legislation?
No, this is a law that you can...
That you can underpay special... Now, I understand the incentive. They're trying to incentivize businesses to bring people in to hire folks who are of special needs. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. And again, I bring up the Jewel example because Jewel employs a lot of special needs folks as baggers.
Mm-hmm.
They work harder than any. I'll check out at Jewel. There's 2 creeps flirting with each other, a couple of 16-year-old hormone-driven kids. And I don't blame you. I was once 16. I think it was the 70s. But the kid at the end of the aisle is getting it done.
Yeah, and Illinois employers can get a waiver for the disabled and pay whatever they wish. And, you know, her point being is that she thinks that's immoral. And she believes that every business can incorporate workers with disabilities. You just have to be creative about it.
It's a good woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really
see
is.
The ability, not the disability.
And nice job by you.
Oh, very good.
All right, so check it out in the Sun Times. And G Story is up there now.
Sure is. A video.
Okay.
Yep.
Where do we find it?
SunTimes.com. You go under the tab, the big heading, you go all the way to the right that says more. You scroll down, it's a drop tab, and it says the grid. They make it really easy for you to find me.
Easy to find. That's your point. Or, we actually have consultants who will help you find it if you're not available to take that kind of time.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Ain't nothing I know where can make you fall in love like a night at the county fair.
Now, we just talked about really good food and Happy Apple.
Yes.
Let's talk about bad food for a second.
Oh.
Yeah, you can get, at the Virginia State Fair, you can get deep fried peanut butter and jelly.
Like a sandwich?
They're rolled up into balls. The peanut butter is the consistency. The jelly's on the inside.
Ah.
And then the balls are dropped in. If you just turned the radio on, I apologize. The balls are dropped into the deep fryer.
The State Fair really loves any kind of balls, because you've been talking about balls a lot.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, if you just turned the radio on. How about a meatball wrapped in bacon on a stick dropped into a deep fryer?
That sounds delicious. Yeah. I could then get a side of marinara to dip the ball into.
They're called moo oink balls. Moo oink balls.
Mm-hmm.
Shaved meatballs.
That's cute.
Yeah.
It's really cute.
Name could use some work, but I'd try that.
How about snap, crackle, and fluff on a stick?
What's the fluff part? Marshmallow?
Yep. Exactly. Yes. Rice Krispie treats dipped into batter and deep fried.
Mmm.
Deep fried beer?
Ugh.
You can do that.
You take beer. It's one of your key ingredients in deep fried beer. And there's different methods, but usually you put it in ravioli.
Wow.
So it's the filling in ravioli with beer.
Just concerned about the molten, hot, lava-like beer liquid.
Yeah, when you bite into it, yikes.
Who doesn't love their beer really hot?
Warm beer. Yum.
How about the Illinois State Fair's Dory Oreo?
Dory Oreo.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's an Oreo cookie surrounded with a chocolate chip cookie in dough. So take your Oreo cookie.
Got it.
Stuff a bunch of chocolate chip cookie dough around it.
I like where this is going.
Dip it in special batter and then drop it in a deep fryer.
We haven't heard from Super Joe all morning. And, of course, now he's piping up because he's so excited.
He will comment on the things that matter mostly to him.
I know. It's apparently a deep fried anything in the shape of a ball.
You didn't hear me sigh during the story?
Yes. The Ohio State, because nobody hates Ohio State more than Joe.
You know, guys, there's a food truck that's usually parked over by the Sears Tower that has deep fried Oreos.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what Scrapple is?
Oh, yes, I absolutely know what Scrapple. In the South, we have a thing called liver mush, which is very similar to Scrapple.
Well, Scrapple is leftover pork.
Yes.
Combined with cornmeal, flour, and spices. You turn the mixture into a loaf, slice it, and deep fry it, and you have deep fried Scrapple.
Yeah. Scrapple is actually very delicious. And in fancy restaurants, you know, they call it...
I want you to look at me now.
Yeah.
There's other food.
I know, but I just mean that it's on charcuterie plates. It's often, you know, called...
You know, Steve and Johnny were big Scrapple fans. They always talked about it.
Yeah. I was in a band called Scrapple.
Yeah, they would bring it in and eat it.
I've been on the Scrapple diet for 4 years.
How's it working out for you?
It's pretty good.
If it's sautéed really crispy, sliced very thin and sautéed crispy, it's delicious.
If you want to get to Madison, the Wisconsin State Fair, taco cheesecake.
Oh, God.
Taco cheesecake. Here's how this works. A deep fryer of tortilla shell stuffed with cream cheese. After it comes out of the fryer, it's topped with cinnamon sugar and whipped cream and drizzled with chocolate, strawberry, or caramel sauce.
It's kind of like a crab rangoon kind of situation.
With
like
chocolate crab rangoon. Joe, have you heard of anything in this list so far you don't like?
Well... I was out on Scrapple until G talked me into it.
Right?
Yes, trust me. If it's done right, it's delicious.
Ohio State Fair. I'm sorry. The Ohio State Fair.
Correct. Correct.
Has a 5-inch tall cherry gummy bear deep fried in vanilla and chocolate batter before being stuck on a stick.
Come on.
That should be given to prisoners as torture to make them talk. I think we talked about this the other day, but in case you missed it, the pancake burger.
Yes.
It's a burger between two pancakes.
And I think you called somebody a gummy bear. You were like, you're a gummy bear. I forgot what happened.
I think it was Dave. Dave's a little gummy bear. And the Florida State Fair's got something. Cheeseburger, right? Cheeseburger's fine. What if you took a cheeseburger, you slapped some deep-fried ice cream on it? It's a Florida State Fair. It's one of the highest in calories by far. Again, it is deep-fried ice cream on top of a burger.
Do you guys have Chi-Chi's? Did you have a Chi-Chi's restaurant?
Used to.
Remember, they used to have the deep-fried ice cream? They would take the ice cream, roll it around in a crust of, like, coconut flakes and breadcrumbs, and then it would be deep-fried.
You're saying it like it's okay.
I'm just, yeah. You know. Just
she would wash down her scrapple with that.
Right? More of this coming up, and Bill and Wendy too. Steve Sands on the Golf Channel after the news next.
You're running on WGN. Here's Orion Samuelson.
I was at the Illinois State Fair all day yesterday and emceed the sale of the governor's sale of Grand Champions last night. And
how much?
Well, I have to tell you, shown by 13-year-old Cole Caldwell of Elmwood, Illinois, 1,337-pound crossbred steer named Lucius, and it brought $75,000.
Wow.
$75,000. But the interesting story was the bidding. Contending bidders, Governor Pritzker, and the other contending bidder, his wife. And I think his wife won. I think she got it for $75,000.
Well, good for them for driving the price up. That's good.
Yes, absolutely.
Mary, thanks.
So he's the richest 13-year-old kid I know right now.
There you go.
That's your money on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
We're hoping to talk to Steve Sands. Maybe we can grab him tomorrow. He just got into O'Hare this morning. And he may be stuck at the airport. I don't know. But we love Steve Sands from the Golf Channel, NBC. He's great. He's a pal. Matter of fact, send this intro to Steve Sands to him today when we tell him we'd like him on the show tomorrow. I was just looking over some of the pairings for the Pro-Am. Our pal Dan Rohn is playing in the Pro-Am today. And Dan Rohn is a great golfer.
He's a terrific golfer.
So he's playing today. Old pal of mine, Dennis Abood's playing today. And I saw a couple of names which caught my eye. As a matter of fact, I can bring this up to the great Steve Sands right now. Are you standing around waiting for your luggage? I feel bad we interrupted you.
You never interrupted me, Steve. How are you, bud?
I'm good. And I said thanks. And I saw this name that jumped out immediately. You being a D.C. kid, Jay Schrader's in the Pro-Am? I'm sure it's the same guy.
Let me tell you, Jay Schrader, number 10 in burgundy and gold, was fabulous. Fabulous. He was way better than Bob Avellini ever was in Chicago.
Well, that's not the greatest compliment you've ever thrown out.
No, it's not. It was the first thing that came to my mind, Steve.
All right, so Schrader, we're going to pretend that we're sure that that's the quarterback. But I did notice this, Roger Clemens playing with Patrick Reed. That's got to be Clemens, don't you think?
I think there's a Roger Clemens. They have a connection, actually. Roger's a Texas guy. Patrick Reed lives in Houston. Roger loves golf. And by the way, even if it isn't R.J. Schrader, we'll take it. So we would love to be represented here in Chicago. But yes, Clemens is out here playing in the Pro-Am today.
You see Bo Jackson playing with Brooks Koepka?
Bo Jackson and Brooks Koepka together have to look just ridiculous.
It's like, there's a little bit of athleticism in that group.
It's like just two granite bookends. It's a true story. I walked out of the Hancock one day when we were working over there at another radio station I was thrown out of. And I came down the Hancock, and I walked into an elevator talking to somebody without looking. I ran into Bo Jackson. Now, I'm 6 feet tall. I'm a grown man. I bounced off him. It was like walking into a wall. Yeah. I mean, Bo Jackson is still in great shape.
I've got a really quick story. I've got a very close friend of mine who pitched on the team with Bo at Auburn when they were in college.
Okay.
So I've never met Bo in my life, and about 4 or 5 years ago, I was on a plane, and he was sitting next to me. But I don't want to be one of those guys who bothers them, blah, blah, blah. We get done. We walk off the plane. I look at him, and I say, hey, Ed Oman is a really close friend of mine. He lights up. It wasn't just some yahoo saying hello to him and bothering him. We talked for like a minute. He shakes my hand. This is 4 or 5 years ago. I'm still in a cast.
And you know what? It's the best break you've ever had. It's just pain that was worth it. All right. So I'm looking over the field here. What do we know about Tiger? Is he healthy or we don't know?
We don't know. It's day to day. You just never know with him. And not that he's not transparent. He doesn't have to be transparent. But it's not that We just don't know, because I think he wakes up each day not knowing himself. So yesterday he woke up, it was a good day, so he decided to fly here to Chicago. Today, you never know. And then tomorrow in the first round, we'll have to wait and see. But hopefully he's healthy. I think it's nice to have him back here in Chicago. He loves it here. He's won in Medina a couple of times. Absolutely loves playing in the area. And the fans deserve to see him at his best, and hopefully he can give them that.
The accounts from the course this morning have been that he was like 4 under on the front nine, and then has just been kind of taking it a little easy on the back nine, not hitting tee shots on every hole, and just kind of a more casual approach.
Well, Steve Sands can speak to this, his level of competitiveness. He's not going to phone it in.
Right.
I'm not a doctor by any means, but that, to me, that's not a great sign, because last week on Wednesday in the Pro-Am, he played 8 holes of regular golf, but wasn't very comfortable. Didn't shoot 4 under on those first 8 holes, and then just chipped and pitched and putted the rest of the way in the Pro-Am. So he couldn't finish last Wednesday, and then we saw what happened to him last week. He had to withdraw after 1 round. So hopefully that's not the case this week. Hopefully he's just taking it easy, because he's just trying to ease his way back into it. He needs to finish solo 11th or better to advance to East Lake next week in Atlanta to defend his tour championship title. So he knows he needs to play very well this week against 70 of the best players in the world.
And you think about this, when he was at the Masters and he won the Masters, you're thinking, well, you weren't even thinking about not advancing to Atlanta, because you figured he's going to have a great summer. Well, old catches up with all of us.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's look, when you have a fused back, if you talk to anybody in the medical profession, they're basically telling you he's on borrowed time. It could be a month, it could be 5 years, but at some point, a fused back is going to give out on him, because it's just too much stress on his body. So, you know, hopefully he has a good week this week. Hopefully he stays healthy. He's obviously great for the game, great for fans, and it's just fun having him around. It was a magical week at Augusta. And hopefully that kind of thing continues.
All right, so a quick plug for one of your employers, the Golf Channel. Golf Channel, NBC Sports. Steve Sands, by the way, runs both. He just doesn't like to take credit for it. Right. But I'm watching Hogan, the documentary, last night, because, you know, I can't get enough golf, because that's the kind of delight I am. And there's a nice piece in there with Tiger talking about Hogan and his toughness and his preparation. There's a little piece of irony in there too, knowing what Tiger's going through now. But when you see what Ben Hogan went through after that bus crash that should have killed him, just to play golf and walk 18 holes, in some cases back then it was 36, it's pretty amazing.
Let me tell you, if Ben Hogan got to know Tiger Woods in his heyday, as hard as Tiger worked, as demanding as Tiger was on himself and the people around him to be the greatest of all time, Hogan would have loved the way Tiger went about his business on the golf course. Hogan was a grinder. He was one of the nicest, mean guys you'll ever meet. I mean, he was demanding at all times, in all facets of life. There's an announcer named Gary McCord over on CBS. He's a great guy. Gary was in a locker room one time, and Hogan walked up to him and said, "Hey, you know, what's your name?" He goes, "I'm Gary McCord." He goes, "What do you do?" He goes, I'm actually in the tournament. I play on the PGA Tour." And he goes, "It's nice to meet you, Mr. Hogan." And Hogan looked down at him and said, "Hey, how many tour events have you won?" And Gary said, "Zero." And Hogan looked down at him and said, "Well, then what the hell do you play for?" And walked away.
Wow.
Hogan was a tough, tough customer, man. But he was one of the all-time great players in the history of the sport.
And the documentary is great, by the way. I don't know if you've
seen it. Oh, it really is. It's a fabulous documentary. Yeah.
All right, I'm just going to throw a couple names at you. Give me a quick response. Brooks Koepka. Got to be in the mix, right?
Tough guy. Tremendous confidence. No one plays with more confidence than Brooks. Even when he doesn't have his A game or his best, he feels as if he can win, because he thinks he can will his way to the top of the leaderboard.
Dustin Johnson.
One of the most talented players out there. If he putts well this week, he'll win.
Rory?
Because when he putts well, he wins. He doesn't putt well all the time. He always hits the ball well.
Right.
He just doesn't putt well.
What about Rory?
Rory is, I think, when they're all playing great, I think Rory McIlroy is the best player in the world. If the putter cooperates early, not in the middle of the round, but if he makes a putt early in his round, he will always play better throughout the 17 or 16 or 15 next holes on the card. I think that Rory is the best player in the world when he's on.
I like Webb Simpson or Gary Woodland as a sleeper. Not that he can win the U.S. Open to be a sleeper, but he didn't. You know, he's not a guy that comes to mind for everybody right away. Who's going to win this thing?
I think it's going to be McIlroy. I think McIlroy is going to come here. He has great vibes here. Remember when he was late to the tee on Sunday in Medina in the Ryder Cup in 2012? He ended up meeting his wife that day.
Right,
that's
good.
Now wife. I think this is a big ballpark. I think his driver is going to be on. And if he, again, if he makes a couple of putts, I think McIlroy is your winner here at Medina.
Small greens. I know. I make a lot of 90s out at Medina, and I miss a lot of green. Listen, it's fabulous. It's going to be a great week for us. And it's made better
because you and my man Bob Verde are the two greatest sandbaggers I know. You guys are full of it.
Verde's the best, isn't he?
That's the greatest. Having dinner with him on Friday night, it literally is my favorite night of the year.
Well, tell him hello. I saw him at the Hawks the other day. By the way, say hi to our friend Kurt Byram, too. His brother Tom Byram, who's still playing well on the champions and the senior on the PGA Champions Tour, or whatever they've named it this week. Tom Byram is in that Hogan documentary as well. So thank you, Steve.
Yes, you got it. Anytime, bud.
See you, man. Steve Sands, the best. All right, a break and we're back in 720 WGN. Bill and Wendy time, minute after 10 o'clock. Thanks for being here. Oh, John, plug the stand-up show that we almost forgot to plug today.
Oh, yes. We've got it week from Friday. Week from Friday at St. Charles at Zany's. That is you, me, and Mike Toomey. We go out there once a year on a Friday night. Stand-up comedy, just the three of us. It's wonderful.
All right, how do we get tickets?
Zanies.com. Go to Zanies.com or just call the box office.
All right. It's going to sell out, so don't miss it.
Box office!
No, you have to call a number.
Sorry.
It's an extra layer.
I want tickets.
So Zanies.com. What are you doing today?
Steve, I can't go into detail, but Wendy's going to do a very good deed. Cannot go into detail, though.
On the air, off the air?
Yeah, on the air.
At 10:35.
This is an on-air good deed.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to try and help someone.
We don't do this often.
She does good deeds every day.
No, normally, Bill and Wendy, their goal is to hurt people.
Yeah. That's our usual goal.
We're back tomorrow. See you then.